Set. Today we're in Canto 6, and Chapter 7, the Narayana Kavacha. Chapter 8. Did we do Narayana Kavacha? That's Chapter 8.
Actually, Prabhu, we were going to do it together, right?
Yeah. Chapter 6, the Daughters of Daksha, that's right. And then, Chapter 7, we did Indra, the Fence, British Party, yep. And that brings us up to the Chapter 8, the Narayana Kavacha, yep. So we're going to have a look at that, and I'll read this introduction first. The Narayana Kavacha Shield. So we have been hearing how after Indra offended his spiritual master, the priest of the demigods Brihaspati, who disappeared, then Lord Brahma, after chastising Indra for his offences, recommended he see Vishwarupa, who was the priest for the demons, but that he would help him in defeating the demons. And so Vishwarupa describes this Vishnu mantra, or Narayana mantra, the Narayana Kavacha, to help Indra become invincible. So this chapter describes how Indra, the king of heaven, was victorious over the soldiers of the demons, and it also describes the shield of the Vishnu mantra. To take protection from this shield, one must first touch Kusha and wash one's mouth with Archaman mantras. One should observe silence and then place the 8-syllable Vishnu mantra on the parts of his body, and place the 12-syllable mantra on his hands. The 8-syllable mantra is Om Namo Narayanaya. This mantra should be distributed all over the front and back of the body. The 12-syllable mantra, which begins with Pranava Omkara, is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 1 syllable should be placed on each of the fingers and should be preceded with the Pranava Omkara. Thereafter, one must chant Om Vishnave Namaha, which is a 6-syllable mantra. One must progressively place the syllables of the mantra on the heart, the head, between the 2 eyebrows, on the seeker, and between the eyes, and then one should chant Maha Ashtaya Pat, and with this mantra protect himself from all directions. Na devil divan archayet. One who has not risen to the level of a deva cannot chant this mantra. According to this direction of the Shastra, one must think himself qualitatively non-different from the Supreme. After finishing this dedication, one must offer a prayer to the 8-armed Lord Vishnu, who sits on the shoulders of Guru today.
Yep.
One also has to think of the fish incarnation, Vamana, Korma, Vamana, Korma, Nrsimha Varaha, Parashuram, Ramachandra, Naranarayan, Dattatreya, Kapila, Sanat Kumara, Hayagriva, Narada Deva, Dhanvantari, Rishabdev, Yagya, Balaram, Vyasadev, Buddhadev, and Keshava. One should also think of Govinda, the master of Vrindavan, and one should think of Narayan, the master of the spiritual sky. One should think of Madhusudan, Tridam, Madhava, Harishikesh, Padmanava, Janardhan, Damodar and Vishwara, as well as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna himself, and after offering prayers to the Lord's personal expansions known as the Svamsha and Shaktivesh avatars, one should pray to the weapons of Lord Narayan, such as the Sudarshan, Gada, Shankar, Khadga, and Bow. After explaining this process, Sukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Bhrigit how Vishwarupa, the brother of Rajasura, described the glories of the Narayana Kavacha to Indra. Sri Rajavacha Yayagupta Sahasraksha Sabhan Ripu Shainikam Kritan Iva Vinirjitya Trilokya Bhagujya Sriyam Bhagavam Stam Mamakyai Vana Narayana Pakam Yatata Inaha Satrun Yenagupto Jayan Ridhei. Now, we might need an arching cup. Would you like to just bring an arching cup? Or you can bring a cup if you want. I'll wait.
Water?
Yeah. Arching cup. So, now we also have the deity worship manual. Well, I've, you know, I went through the Pancha Pradeep, you know, the ISKCON deity worship manual, and just extracted how we do purification for worshipping the Lord, or, you know, performing some ceremony. And, so in some places in our, you know, when we do Archimana, there are short versions, there are slightly longer versions, and there are longer versions, and then there are more, you know, quite sophisticated forms of purification. So what I've tried to do here is, you know, I've put those in this book. We'll have a look at that and just compare the two, and just briefly have a look at this purification. There's a purification process, you know, before chanting. So now, so it's just pulled out here the deity worship manual. So one of the first things we do when we're performing deity worship, or jagis or other things, is we do the Vaishnava Archimana. You do that full one before you do the deity worship? Yeah. Yeah. Do you know that off by heart? Yeah, you want to do it? I always have to look at the manual. I've got the manual here if you want to do it. But you can. Everyone watching?
Thank you.
repeat that? You see what he did there? So, chanting the various mantras and then, you know, touching different parts of the body and the different fingers touching different parts of the body with different fingers, you know, thumb, this one, that one, like that. Now, after performing that, so that's the full Vaishnava Archana, and then you know, with the pranama mudra, one would chant these mantras such as Om Yam Brahma Vedanta Vedo Vedanti Pere Vedan. You do this one? Pere Vedan Puru Shant Dhanye Vishwad Kire Kanana Vishwadam Vai Tajmai Namo Vigna Vanashanaya Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Vedam Sada Vishanti Suryo Diviva Chakshu Rizitam Tiru Vishwo Vandiro Jagram Sasimite Vishnu Yat Paramam Vedam. Do you do the Om Krishna Vai Satchanana? Om Krishna Vai Satchidananda Gnaya Krishna Adi Purusha Krishna Purusha Uttama Krishna Kumari Malam Krishna Saha Sarikariyaha Krishna 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 Krishna. And then, you know this one? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So then, now, there's a little explanation in the Panchapradip, in the supplement, that the, you know, we would then do the Bhuta City. Right? Bhuta City, meaning that, that prayer, I am by nature, the Bhuta City purifies the bodily elements. But there are a couple of other things that can precede that, which I'm going to tell you. And these other different functions, such as the Digbandhana and Vani Prakara, which use sound, mantra, and meditation, they build a wall of protection around the devotee to ensure concentration for worship. So we're purifying the body, and then we can do these ones here before the Buddha City too. It builds a wall of protection to fix the mind, nothing can get in. The mind may be influenced by subtle negative personalities, but a person who is sufficiently fixed in devotion may not be subject to these influences. For him, these functions are optional. So one may sometimes consider that sometimes a very senior devotee may not necessarily do a lot of the intricate purifications, that somehow they're doing less. But because their minds are always fixed on Krishna and nothing can break it, some of these things, you know, and they're always in a purified state because they're always thinking of Krishna. Om Pavitra Pavitra Vam Saravasa Gitabhi Vam Yasmire Pundarika Ksham Savya Vyantara Suchi, because they're always thinking of the lotus eyed Lord, they're always purified. For us, because our mind can waver and be disturbed, we do these things. Like that. But one should be careful thinking that a very advanced devotee may not necessarily do a lot of these intricate purifications or walls of protection. But that is because it's an optional thing. They may do it for the benefit of teaching others, they may not do it, but the meditation doesn't break. So just keep that in mind. One can, you sprinkle the proxina, and you silently chant the Gopala mantra. try to lip read. And then there's Astraya Pat. You strike the left palm three times with your right forefinger and middle finger, and you raise your hands as you do this. You snap the fingers of your right hand in the 10 directions, beginning from the east and going clockwise, and then show the chakra mudra while meditating on a protected chakra coming down around you. So, so that's the you do that one. That's a dig bandana and vani prakara. This one. This is vani prakara. You chant the agni bija, which is ram, and you meditate on a wall of fire spreading all around or over your head, protecting you and the deity room from bad influences. At the same time, show the Agni Bijaksha Mudra. That's that one, right? To show this mudra, you keep your right forefinger straight, clench the remaining fingers of your right hand into a fist around the thumb, and move your right hand in a clockwise complete circle around your head. So you're meditating on a wall of fire, protecting. So we're not in the deity room, but we'll protect our, we've got the deity here, but we'll protect our Srimad Bhagavatam room, a wall of fire. And, so then you do the Bhuta Siddhi, Bhuta Shuddhi. I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna, but because of my bad fortune, I have been inimical toward him from time immemorial. And thus have I have identified myself with my body and continuously wandered in the cycle of birth and death in the material world, suffering the burning threefold miseries. Now, as a result of some unimaginable good fortune, my spiritual master's mercy has enabled me to know that I am Krishna's eternal servant, an infinitesimal spiritual being completely apart from the gross and subtle body. And so, by the order of my spiritual master, I have obtained the good fortune of serving his lotus feet and following in his footsteps, the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. I say Radha Swami Sundari because they're my deities at home. Like that. Or Radha Swami Sundari. So you do that one. Is that, yep. Yes.
This mystic yogi was trying to send some demon or something.
Yeah. Bishikashain.
Yeah, that guy sent some kind of a demon.
Yeah.
And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So he, actually, there was a war of, you know, because of his power.
Yes.
I think it could be Krishna has done something. So the demon could not enter.
Yeah.
He was trying to poke, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was, you know, constantly, very seriously reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
That's right.
And then this demon was trying and then went back and attacked the same guy.
Yeah.
So what is that kind of
thing? Yeah, that's what we're doing today.
That's because he was already a charity.
Yeah. And, you know, we do have to understand that, you know, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Vishalam, those things which are made available to anyone, despite their qualifications. No qualifications. Anyone can read. We distribute Srimad Bhagavatam on the street, Bhagavad Gita. The second book I received off the devotee on the street was Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto too. I read Nectar Devotion, which was given to my brother, who stuck in the box, put it under the bed. You know, he used to distribute these. So these are freely available. Krishna book, Ashima Bhagavatam Teen Kanta. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One should understand that those things which are being freely distributed to persons who don't have any other brahminical qualification or any other qualification, they're sufficient in themselves to fully protect them from the influence of the Yajna Kali. In other words, if one does not have access to, you know, the Panchapradip and, you know, the deity worship manual and what have you, they should not lament that they're somehow less protected. And as I say, if devotees are, you know, fully absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, serving the Supreme Lord, you know, they're always purified. Om Pavitra Pavitra Vasarva Vastakapaviva. No matter what their condition in the material world. So, you know, those who are still in general, it's good to be able to perceive the proper behavior in the Brahmanas who are, you know, maintaining the deity worship and cooking and so many different things. So, you know, we see that they perform certain forms of archaman and, you know, certain levels of cleanliness which in mind and heart and activities and words which they and consciousness which they demonstrate quite practically. So that we it can be examined and tested to some degree. But, you know, having said that, you know, if you saw someone like Jagannath Das Babaji, who's, you know, collecting thrown away cloths from where they perform the cremation of the bodies, and he's chanting Hare Krishna in a room that, you know, was a latrine that's been converted into a little room for him. We should not think that he's not purified. So, you know, it's important that generally we need to be able to test people that that they're worshipping the deities, they're doing these things. Okay, you demonstrate a certain level of ability, understanding, and to practice that regularly. But there are very senior devotees who may not necessarily always do those particular things, but we should be careful not to think that they're not purified or not qualified to worship the deity. Is it Vamsidas Babaji? He was used to carry the Gopala deity in his hand, and he, you know, he was an Avaduta around at the time of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the core. He used to wear, you know, just he was always covered in the, you know, he didn't bathe, he didn't have regular baths. He didn't wash his clothes every day. Sometimes he didn't even wear clothes. You know, when he cooked for the deities, you know, sometimes he just feed the deity raw eggplant. You know, there are no rules and regulations at all. But he was he was on a platform of Vatsali Ras. You know, he worshipped his deity in the mood of a parental resident of Vrindavan. And one day he cooked this sweet rice for his deity. And after he'd cooked it, he got that sweet rice and he threw it on the ground. "There's your sweet rice. But I see you've already eaten somewhere else." He was really angry at his deity. "You know, you've had some of this palm date sweet rice in this other temple." Like that. So then, you know, the devotees were quite bewildered. You know, he's offering sweet rice to his deity and throwing it on the ground in an angry mood in front of him. And, you know, they used to ask Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to try and explain, you know, because he was an avid dude, he was just in his own spiritual realm. And, of course, you know, he mentioned this other temple, so the devotees checked, and they had, in fact, cooked for the deity there some, you know, special sweet rice, which had a special type of sugar, you know, it was like the, that he'd mentioned. And so he understood that Krishna, his deity, had eaten that there, even though he'd gone to all the trouble to cook him ordinary sweet rice. So he was really angry at him, because he was like acting like a naughty child. You know, "I'm your parent, I'm home cooking. And you just wander off and eat, you know, like that." So
the beauty is, they have not had that sweet rice for so many ages. They didn't care for that, whether they have eaten or not.
What's that?
I mean, even that Bhavati, he would have had sweet rice for we don't know how many years.
Yes, yeah.
Because he has just borrowed it and he has cooked it just for the deities.
Yes, that's
and
right.
When the deities are not able to eat it, they've already eaten it. He's not even interested in it. Just throws it away.
That's right.
He's not
yeah.
even interested in touching it or
that's
anything.
Right.
Not,
yeah.
Absolutely no personal interest.
Yeah,
it's
just for
amazing.
The deity.
It's
yeah,
amazing.
That's right. So, you know, one should be very careful, you know, that there are, you know, be very careful how we examine the activities of personalities like Srila Prabhupada. Say Prabhupada watching, if you watch Prabhupada do a fire yoga, very, very simple, very simple.
The deities
were not.
Mother,
were you saying deities did not eat them, or
did
he, when he was
deposited?
No, no, no. The deities have eaten there.
I ate another temple.
Yeah, but I was thinking from if any ordinary person they would have felt, I have not eaten. If,
yeah.
I mean, they have not eaten. They're cooking, but he's totally involved only in serving the deities,
yeah.
the lordships, only for serving.
That's
he's making
yeah.
not for his pleasure. It's only for that. And he's so disappointed that they have taken, he doesn't care for anyone's head, just throws it away. It's okay, there's no use of this.
It's just based on love.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
so,
is amazing.
Yeah. So there's no question of impurity. Even he hasn't bathed. You know, he hasn't bathed, hadn't changed his clothes, you know, nothing. There are no standards that we follow. But you would not consider him impure. He is performing those activities in his spiritual form. And Krishna is accepting those. You know.
Who's that devotee? I think once when he's doing some deity worship, somebody is taking a fish and he has a desire to eat fish. He gets so angry, he starts ducking his deities. "I'm taking care of you, you have ditched me," and sort of thing. He keeps ducking them in the.
I'm not sure.
He is just doing his meditation when somebody is carrying a fish. At that time, he gets a smell and he has a desire to eat fish. And he gets so upset, he gets angry with the deities. Like, "I'm taking care of you, but you have ditched me." And so he takes, ties the deities and just puts them in the water and ducks them up and down.
So, how can I get this desire?
How did I get this desire?
How do you just, you know, you made this arrangement to disturb me while I'm worshipping you.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are many examples like this, and we see also that Srila Prabhupada instructed his disciples that, you know, sometimes, you know, while preaching, you know, and you're cooking food and offering, and you're actually surrounded in one sense, it's almost impossible to keep the whole process separate from the people that you're actually preaching to. So, you know, the standards sort of drop, that you've got people looking that may be lusting over the food and, you know, so many different things. So, you know, there are many different circumstances. You know, we see that Prabhupada, when he went to Butler, Pennsylvania, when he first went to America, that I think they had some meat, you know, for their pets or something in the fridge, you know, and he had to keep his vegetables in there, which he was cooking and making an offering to Krishna. So, you know, in preaching circumstances, you know, sometimes, you know what I mean? So, I mean, if we heard that, oh, you know, there was meat, you know, in the same cool room as our vegetables, you know, you'd be outraged. But, you know, in a preaching circumstance, you know, sometimes it is just almost impossible to maintain, you know, certain standards. But, you know, therefore, you know, during the time, make some allowances. But the devotee's mentality is always pure, and they're always, you know, maintaining, as far as possible, they always maintain the highest standards and principles. And at some stages where they can't do other certain things, so for instance, you know, sometimes when you're preaching, you know, sometimes when I do home programs, I see people have cooked food, and I literally have to offer it in my mind immediately that I know it's cooked. Because I see people walking over to the kitchen to see what's being cooked, and I know that they're going to, that's really nice, can I have a little taste, you know. So I've sort of got to, you know, I've explained things to the guest, to the host over the phone, what I'm going to do, but sometimes they have very little control of what happens when their guests get there. So in other words, the host, I've explained to them what I need done to be able to offer the food, and they attempt to do that. But sometimes when the guests arrive, especially little kids in that, then things just turn to a whole different situation. So I have to watch the situation carefully. Sometimes knowing that the food's just been cooked and I see people coming and I can see the mentality, I just literally offer it in my mind. Before I can put it into the fire, before any rituals go on, I just offer it straight away. And in some cases, you know, what's happened is that, you know, I haven't realised that they've, you know, that they may have cooked something, and you know, I've asked them, oh, have you cooked something? And no, and then Grandma said, oh, no, I've cooked halva. But, you know, so they'll sort of literally, you know, start serve. They're almost about to start to serve that before it's even been offered, you know. So, and I haven't quite realised, so I'll literally have to go over and literally just, you know, I'll have some and take a mouthful of something just so it's offered, you know, just through the Brahmana. So, you know, preaching is a whole different scenario.
Taste it. Some actually go and taste it sometimes.
They do all sorts of things.
They taste it before they even.
Yeah, sometimes the guests do all sorts of things. I explain things to the host over the phone, you know, so that they understand. I know that they know at least the standard I need. But when guests arrive, they do all sorts of things. And the host will not chastise one of their guests. If their guests come up to do something silly, they just usually, they're sort of too polite and let them do things, even though they're thinking, oh, I don't want that, but, you know. So it's a strange situation. So, you know, they're not practiced. Gradually, if you do a few programs there, they become more and more practiced, but, you know, they can get caught out sort of thing. So the offerings can be a little bit haphazard. But, but strange enough, you know, Krishna will accept you know, the offerings, you know, if they're done to the best of one's ability, in the proper devotional mood, and for the sake of preaching, if you're really trying hard to do everything as far as you can, and somehow, you know, just some of the standards not able to be maintained, then Krishna will still accept fully that offering. So we're discussing here, we're looking at the some of these extracts from our Panchapradipa, the Edict of Worship Manual, and I just want to compare what we're doing with what we're going to read in the Narayanika budget, so that you've got a bit of an understanding. So the first thing we looked at was the Vaishnava Achaman on Keshavaya, which was very expertly demonstrated by our own Suri Narayan, who knows it off by heart. And then we've done the Vishnu Smarana on Yam Brahma, etc., on Pad Vishnu, etc., on Krishna by Satchitananda, etc. Then we've done the Digbandana, you know, Dig means directions, you know, protecting oneself with the directions, the Chakra Mudra, the Vani Prakara, surrounding oneself with a wall of fire, the Bhuta Siddhi, Bhuta Shuddhi, I am by nature eternal servant of Krishna, etc. And also part of the Bhuta Shuddhi, you know the next one? Naham Vipra Na Cha Nara Pati Napi Vasho Na Shudra. Do that one? No? These ones they usually do before they worship the deity, especially while. I guess they're part of the deity worship process. They're sort of quite standard, especially when one is worshiping the shalagrams in the temple room. They do, you know, they don't do all of these, but they'll do this one as well. They'll usually do the previous one and this one. Naham vipro na cha nara patir na pi vaisho na shudra. Naham bani na chagriha pati na vanaso yatirva kintu pajan nikala paramananda panamritadde gopi batu parakamalayo dasa dasa nadas. I am not a brahmana, I am not a kshatriya, I am not a vaishya or a sudra, nor am I a brahmachari, a householder, a vanaprast, or a sannyasi. I identify myself only as the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. He is like an ocean of nectar, and he is the cause of universal transcendental bliss. He is always existing with brilliance. There's another one here that even those who sometimes do the shalagrams are supposed to do, although from what I've seen, they don't always do this one, but this is also there. Divyam Shri Hari Mandira Jatilakam Kantam Shamalan Vittam Baksha Shri Hari Namavana Subagham Shikanda Litam Panaha Putam Shukshvam Navambaram Vimalatam Nicham Bahantim Tanum Jayat Shri Guru Padapadma Nikite Savatsukam Chatmanaha. One should meditate on oneself situated at the feet of one's spiritual master. One's pure body clothed in fine new cloth and decorated with wonderful tilak. One's chest marked with the holy name and anointed with sandalwood pulp, and one's neck bedecked with a garland. So sometimes, because of the mantra, that if I'm in a preaching situation and you know, so for instance, say someone comes to your home, you go to someone's home, someone's made a little simple food stuff, they want you to do a little offering, or they may not have even asked you to do an offering, and they're about to serve that food, in which case you may then secretly want to do that offering. Or do an offering really quickly within a few seconds, which is usually what they give you. So I always do this meditation, that no matter how I'm dressed or what my situation is, that I meditate that I'm sitting at the lotus feet of my spiritual master in Srila Prabhupada, dress, and nice, you know, clothes, silken clothes, tilak, and a sandalwood paste and a garland. So I, meditate upon that. And of course, when one's, you know, doing worship in the deity room, that's how one meditates upon oneself as well. And if that's not possible externally, one still meditates upon oneself like that. So in that, you're meditating upon yourself in that pure spiritual situation, and then you make the offering to the Lord, and you see Him, you know, accepting that offering from you in that state, not in, you know, the other state that you may be in externally, which may not be exactly suitable. So you can imagine, so, you know, on the platform of personalities like Vamsi Das Babaji, who are seeing themselves in their spiritual form, they don't have to chant this mantra or do anything. It's just natural. That's their natural state. They're seeing themselves in the spiritual form. They're seeing, you know, the Lord in, you know, His original form. Like that. So these are practice for when we get to the state of Vamsi Das Babaji, where we see ourselves in our spiritual body, actually. In the meantime, we should do this. So I'm just giving you an idea, of course, that, you know, some things, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, are very similar. And then at the same time, because we are in the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching movement, as you can see very clearly, that some of these verses, like that one, quoted Naham Vipro Nacha etc. Gobi Bhattu Parakramaru Dasa Dasana Dasa, that's from Padjavali, which is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Some of these are sort of coming in our line after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore we're following the process which is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, plus some little extra in order to adjust our consciousness to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, which may not be there in that Srimad Bhagavatam. See? So I'm just comparing the two. Otherwise it's the same thing, but we are being adjusted a little bit.
Prabhu, when we get our second, do we have to do this, or do we...
Not all of this. You know, the one that Surya Narayan did.
Yeah, sure.
I call you? Keep changing your name. Surya Gopa. That's right. It used to be Surya Narayan. Not anymore. Both nice names. The Gopa. Yeah. You've gone from Aishwarya Bhava to Madhurya Bhava now. Elevation. Yeah, so the one, the Vaishnava Archman, Om Keshavaya Namaha, etc., you know, like that, you do that one. Om Yam Brahma, you do that one. And Om Tad Vishnu, Paramam, usually that's pretty much it. Some of the other ones, as I said, like the Dig Bandana, the purifying the directions of the water fire, they don't do that. If you worship in the Shalagrams here, usually do they'll do the Gobi Patur Parikamayo one. I should do this second one as well, meditating upon oneself and, you know, nicely dressed in pure clothes. I'm not sure if they still do that here. Like that. Now, so yes, some of those. And they have a sheet. Here, you know, because I studied the Panchapradipa, I went through and just made sure. You know, it's interesting when you read the Panchapradipa, some of these things are spread out. You know, some are in the supplement like that. So, you know, I had to really research it in order to, you know, the Tendri had come up to me one day. Where'd you get that last prayer you did? I said, yeah, Panchapradipa. And then he went right through, he still couldn't find it. I had to show, you know, because they're not easily understood where they are. So then there are the nyasas, which are mentioned here. then there's the phone. That's all right. I can't blame anyone. But my phone, I have two phones. Now the nyasas, here's a little explanation of the nyasas from the Panchapadipa. The purpose of nyasa is to purify and spiritualize the body. Whereas bhutishuddhi, so those different prayers and meditations, in vaidhi bhakti, so those bhuta shuddhi, an aspect of vaidhi bhakti, they produce a condition of bodily purity. Nyasa, through placing sound on the body, produces a condition of spirituality. That's the distinction given in the Panchapadipa. Making the body qualitatively like that of the Lord. So we've read that in the Bhagavatam. How one should... where is that? That is... we'll see it in the verses, but it also explained it in the introduction. According to this direction of the Shastra, one may think himself qualitatively non-different from the Supreme. So that's an important point. That those nyasas, they spiritualize the body, and therefore one has the same spiritual quality as the Lord. One can purify the body, sattva-guna, the spiritualization of the body is a little more.
Level of a deva, as in we a level of a demigod, or
a devotee. We'll take it as a devotee. I mean, devas are devotees, but you know, because here they're worshipping the transcendental Lord, they still also have to, you know, spiritualize their body to some degree or another. Two types of nyasa. So I'm quoting again from the Panchapadipa, because, as I said, you know, it's good to be able to relate this to our practices in ISKCON, like that. So we don't think, oh, you know, there's this nice thing in the Bhagavatam, but how does that relate to us in ISKCON? So I'm trying to give you an idea here. Kara nyasa for the hands and Anga nyasa for the body, both of which the pujari may perform after worshipping his spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya, and prior to worshipping Krishna. When installing the Lord into a ghat, a sacred pot, or into Visesha Agya, a special Agya where the deity is installed, like a special water, Visesha Agya, you do that, you make the special, you spiritualize the water. So then, and sometimes, you know, you can install the Lord into a pot with the spiritual, the Visesha Agya. You know, or the devotee may perform nyasa much as he would himself. So then you perform, just as you perform nyasa to your own fingers and body, then you also install the Lord in the pot and you do nyasa on him in the same way. It is particularly recommended that the pujari perform nyasa on himself if he is going to do any kind of installing either of sacred pots, vishesha agya, or deities. Spiritualizing the senses by nyasa, kara nyasa and anga nyasa. So then, now, there are the nyasa mudras. So the Nyasa Mudra for the chest, you do the Nyasa Mudra for the chest, and then you chant the Brahman, you know, what do they call it, the Gopala Mantra, or the Six Gayatri from Krishna, Govinda, Govijana, Bhagavad Swaha. It's in the books. So the Nyasa Mudra for the chest, we all know that one? Let's see if we can have a look at that. Nyasa Mudra for the chest.
This is also not necessarily done by new second
initiates,
right?
No, generally they don't do. I once did, on one Janmashtami here, just for my own, Krishna's pleasure, but just so, I knew how to do it. I offered the, apart from what I did in the temple room, while I was here, I offered the full 64 items of worship, including all the nyasas, and including, and I installed a pot with Krishna also on the altar and did all the nyasas and that there. I mean, I don't do it very often, but, just to at least, once in a lifetime do it properly. But, we generally don't do it here, but, what I've found is that by Krishna's grace, is that when you try to develop a devotional skill and ability, you try to study Prabhupada's books or practice some of the different Vaishnava practices, Krishna becomes so pleased that he gives you the opportunity to then take that up in your service. If you take an interest in it, Krishna becomes so pleased because, even amongst the devotees, what to speak of non-devotees, many of these, Krishna is just so pleased that, these things are being preserved and to be passed on. So, if you take the time to look into it, he really rewards you with the opportunity to utilize that as a devotee. I think I've mentioned before that I started doing Bhakti Shastri because I was teaching in some of the home programs. I used to just study Bhakti Shastri at home. I just had the manuals and just for my own pleasure, I used to study and Bhakti Bhagavad and what have you. And some of those who had just finished some things in the Bhakti Shastri, said to me, we've just done nectar instruction, this, that and the other. Can you, do a few lessons on that? Which I did. And the devotees said to me that, oh, Ganga, we've just done that. And I was thinking, I'm a bit embarrassed, you're probably thinking, I'm sitting here just repeating everything you've heard. And they said, no, 95% of what you've said we haven't heard. And then they said to me, you should do Bhakti Shastri, you should teach it. And it was some devotees who pushed that for me, even after that. And I really was pushed into that by other devotees, not of my own accord. It was because when I was on the farm, especially in between preaching engagements and what have you, and festivals, I used to just spend as much time as I could. And sometimes if I get 2 weeks and it was quiet, I just study for that 2 weeks. And I used to give class pretty much every morning, and most mornings I was the only one there. And we went right through the 10th canto and everything. Sometimes there might be two or three people there, but And the previous night, even though I was giving class the next morning and I was probably the only one, I still studied for that class. So when I come to Melbourne, you know, ended up you know, doing classes again. I mean, I've been doing classes since I was at Brahmacho, but if you take the opportunity, and similarly, I studied the book on yajnas, how to do a yajna, just in case I may have to do it. But there was no indication I ever would. And when my wife took initiation, out of the blue, although I'd never mentioned to my spiritual master or anyone, he said, when you go back to Melbourne, you do the yajna, you do the fire yajna, which really surprised me because I'd never done a yajna, I'd never asked to do a yajna, and I'd never mentioned anyone who had even studied the book. It was just totally Christians around me. So, you know, so there's a couple of examples there, but, you know, if you take interest in doing something, you can guarantee Krishna becomes so pleased, he will make arrangement for you to, you know, take up a nice service where you can actually, you know, practice those things.
You just wonder, though, how do you pick all this up, especially as you're aspiring to, in this case?
I pick things up because if you hang around long enough, even if you have no qualifications like me, when all the qualified devotees are not present and you're the only one left around, they'll say, oh, can you do this? And usually at that point, that's when I've got the service. Seriously. So if you just keep hanging around and in your spare time you just make yourself busy, at one stage, you'll be the only devotee in that position and someone will say, can you do that? And you say, yeah, no problem. And that's pretty much how I've started most of my services. You know, the same when I was on the farm. I moved to the farm to have a quiet life and everyone left. Probably because I went there. But then I had to do the catering. So, you know, I just took up that service. No one showed me how to do it. No one showed me the recipes. No one showed me how to purchase, you know, the goods. No one showed me how to set up. No one showed me where to go, who to contact or anything. I got nothing from Melbourne, I got nothing from the previous farm people, I was just on my own. The only thing was that I used to serve the devotees who were doing it and I watched everything they did. And then when it came time to do it, I just did what I, you know, I'd watch them do this, that and the other. And that. So, you know, when you're serving in that mood. You're a humble servant, but if I had to do it, let me be attentive, humble servant. You know? But you know, if I have to represent ISKCON, let me. You know, it's just like you know, sometimes someone asks you to do kirtan, and you think, oh, you know, I'm better off to leave it to other devotees who had a nicer kirtan. But should I be the only one there, and someone says, oh, you'll have to do it? Then you got to remember that you're representing Prabhupada, you're representing ISKCON, and you want to try and do something nice. So you sort of, you know, you watch and learn as you serve. But if you do that, you know, Krishna, you'd be surprised how many gurus, you know, are gurus now, apparently all of them, who were just very simple devotees watching other devotees do all the things and they're just humbly serving. Now the gurus, the same thing. So, these nyasas. And that's why, you know, as we go through the books, we may as well do it properly. At least you're familiarised. You know, the first thing with learning to do something, you just become familiar. So even hearing, you know, this, comparing that this chapter to our deity worship process, you become familiar with what you may do one day, and it really helps. It helps a lot, you know, just to get an overview. Oh, that's what you're supposed to do. You know. So they have different, you know, in the Panchapradipa and other different books, they show you how to do some of the mudras. Let's try and find the. So the Nyasa Mudras, they show you. So here they got the Nyasa Mudra. Now, So this is for the chest. We can all do this. So you place your right middle finger on the center of your left palm. And bend the middle finger. So you get the mind. Bend the middle finger so that the first two joints are perpendicular to the palm. Then enclose the space between the palms with the remaining fingers. Oh no, it's like this. It's actually like that. Yeah, two hands facing the opposite direction. Right? And then you hold that mudra at your chest and you silently chant the mantra using the Gopala mantra. Om Krishna Govinda Gopichana Govinda. Silent. That. So that's the Nyasa Mudra for the chest. So we're not going to do them all, but we'll just to show you like that. So as it describes here, you're doing those different mudras. So there's one for the you do that to start, and then the Kara Nyasa. You chant a mantra, clean, and gustabhyam namaha, and move your four fingers along the length of your thumbs from the bases to the tips. Right. So, in this way, you're going to do, you know, chant various mantras. Now, these mantras are like this. It's clean, then there's another Sanskrit word, namaha. And that was for that one. Then you do another one for the other, again for the thumbs, and it's Krishnaya, another Sanskrit word, swaha. The next one, Govindaya, Sanskrit word, vasat. Another one, Gopijana, hum. Valava, another Sanskrit word, and Voshat, Swaha, and then Astraya Karatata, Astraya Karatana, Kara, Pristabhyam Pat, and touch your right palm to the back of your left hand, then your left palm to the back of your right hand. So there are different nyasas which you've applied to the fingers and the hands. And what you've done for each of the words, Klim Krishna Govinda Gopijana Valava Swaha, you've taken the first word, Klim, done one yasa. So it's Klim and you've added something. Klim and the Gustab, Yaham, Namaha, done one yasa. Then the next word, Krishnaya, Krishnaya, add a word, and Swaha, Govinda, like that. So you've taken each word and you've done a different yasa. And then the Anganyasa, as we said, applying to the different parts of the body, then again with the Klim Krishna Govinda Gopijana Valava Swaha, you've done that as well. Alright. And at the end of that, it says Swaha Astraya Pat. Snap your fingers three times with your right hand as you move it clockwise around your head. Three times. So we did. There was a 10 times before and 10 durations. This one is just three. Show the chakra mudra, making a clapping sound as you bring your hands together as a chakra mudra. All right, you got to make that smack. And then showing the pranama mantra, you chant sarva pari vinir muktam tat parat vena nirmalam hushikeshan. Hushikena, Hushikesha, Sevanam Bhakti Ruchite. Now, other things that may be done. So we're going to compare this in a minute. At this stage, now after being completely purified, then you do the Vishesha Agya. It's purifying water. It's a special water. You put down a conch shell. To do that, you draw a little. It says, with the water from the, say, the ordinary water, you draw a small equilateral triangle with one of its angles pointing away from you, and draw a circle around the triangle and then a square around the circle. You do that with the water. Just imagine it. It's water. And your triangle. And that circle. Yeah, that's where you're going to put your conch. You need the conch to make the special water. You purify and establish in the conch stand and the conch. So, Om Shri Pat. You chant various mantras as you put the, place the stand there, and then you place the conch and you put the water in, so many different things. Gradually you do the. You've made this one, yeah. And you make the special water. You put flowers and chandan on the conch. Each thing is done with a little mantra, and then you do the. So you've got an ordinary archman vessel here, and then you've got your other one which you're making special water into it. And you do the chakra mudra and then the galini mudra, like that, where you're pure, it's like a strainer. And then the dhanu mudra, that's a hard one. What are you going?
No,
it's like this. I'm just. I think I've got one of my fingers. It's a bit like that. I love it like that. Something like that. Hold it. You got it? You got it. And then you invoke the holy waters into the, with the Anakusha mudra. So the Anakusha, we said that, with the thumbs, the fingers clenched around the thumb, touching the top of the water, not putting your fingernail in there. Ganga charge munachiva gaudavadi sasvati namere sindukavere jadeshmin sanidu karu sanidim karu. So you've invoked the sacred waters in there. Invoke the Mula Mantra of the deity being worshipped. So it depends on the deity. Silently chanting 8 times while holding the Bijakshara Mudra over the conch. Then show the Matsya Mudra. Kids love it. So there are different Mula Mantras. What's that? You can 8 as you're doing that. And there are different Mula Mantras. So for instance, if you're worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you might say Kum Guraya Namaha. If you're worshipping Lord Nityananda, on his appearance day, you might say, Klim Nityanandaya Namaha. For Krishna, Jagannath, Govardhan Srila, Dwarka Srila, you can do the Gopala Mantra. Srimad Radharani, it's Srim Radhyaya Namaha. Radha Krishna, you can do Srim Klim Radha Krishna Vyam Namaha. Balaram, Klim Balarayana, Balaramaya Namaha. So, you know, Subhadra Ramchandra, Klim Ramayana Namaha. Sita, Srim Sitiyaya Swaha, or Srim Sitiyaya Namaha, or Sita Ram together, you could do Srim Ram Sita Ramabhyam Namaha, like that. Sankarshan, Klim Sankarshanaya Namaha. So you do the Mula Mantra. So in this way, and then there is various other things you're worshipping. So gradually you get to the point where you've got this special water. And then you invoke the Lord into that special water, or if you're doing it into a pot to worship the pot. Like, you know, you have a pot and when you set up the jagya. So when you set up a jagya, you know, it's not just putting the coconut on the five leaves. You actually, can put the Lord in there. But because we have the shalagram, then there's no need. See? If you don't have the shalagram present, then you would actually, invoke the Lord in the pot. Like that, and then you do all the nyasas. So in the special water, which is special sacred water for doing deity worship, you invoke the Lord as well. And then you install all the nyasas on them. Now, a lot of these things, we don't necessarily do all these things here, but, if Srini Kavacha comes down and asks you to do that, you'll at least have some idea what he's talking about. Like that. Now, then, there may be other, preliminary prayers that you chant, such as Svasti Vachanam, Om Panantu Mam Dev Janaha, etc. And then, Om Ashakamana Punyaham Bhavanto Bhavanto, Om Punyaham, Om Punyaham, Om Punyaham, they throw the grains over your shoulder, like that. And then, ending with so all these different things, everything is worshipped, everything is purified. And then, you can also invoke into that pot with the Lord. You can also invoke the various associates and do the nyasas on all of those associates, like that. So the nyasas have the spiritualization, not just for oneself, as you've done before, worship, and then it's also done on the Lord that you may install, or deities that you install, or personalities that you may install in the sacred pot for the sake of the various worships like that. Alright, so many pages later, we're almost at the end of our worship. And then like that. Alright, so that shows you, so the application applies whether you're doing jagyas, installations, deity worship, here in our temple or other temples. Generally, not all of that is needed to be done, but in some special cases, for instance, when they have, I don't know that they did it here, when they did the, the Stone Lane Foundation, but significant festivals like that, generally that you would expect the priest would do all those nyasas. What's that?
That particular day.
Yeah. I was doing the Nisringa Chaturdasi. Yeah. So. All right, so now as we go through this, Now, because we've actually just gone through that deity worship manual and done that, you have a proper understanding of what. So you just picture that in your mind as we're going through. I'll just project this now. Hare Krishna, yes. Can I get you to call me back after 5? That'd be great. Thank you. Okay. Everyone got the book? Who got Sanskrit? And the Sanskrit is there?
Yeah.
So if you want to read it together, we can read it together.
Sure, sure.
But it doesn't matter if you just hear it, because you get the same benefit. Right? You're doing two things at once. You're making garlands and hearing. So you probably do better than we will. Alright, so I read the first one. Or did I? Yes, I read the first Sanskrit, and I'll just do this first verse again. King Parikit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, "My Lord, kindly explain the Vishnu mantra armor that protected King Indra, enabled him to conquer his enemies along with their carriers and enjoy the opulence of the three worlds. Please explain to me that Narayana armor by which King Indra achieved success in battle, conquering the enemies who were endeavoring to kill him." I read this with my wife the other day. Text number 3. Because that was 1 and 2 together. We'll all do it together. Sri Radharani Uvacha Riddha Parihita Sastra Mahendra Yandu Prichate Narayana Kyam Namaha Tadihaika Manaha Shindu. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "King Indra, the leader of the demigods, inquired about the armor known as Narayana Kavacha from Vishvarupa, who was engaged by the demigods as their priest. Please hear Vishvarupa's reply with great attention." Sri Vishvarupa Uvacha Dotangri Panir Achamya Saptavicha Adanmukha Pita Sangha Karanyaso Mantrabhyam Bhagyata Suchi Narayana Parambala Sanayet Baya Agate Hariyo Jano Ugo Udare Hityatorasi Moke Shirashinu Puryat Om Karadini Vinyasat Om Namo Narayana Yati Vipalyayam Matapiva. Vishvarupa said, yeah, actually what we might do is get one person, we'll take in turn, so a nice loud voice, so that we can hear it on the tape. So we'll start with yourself, Ananta, nice loud voice, slowly.
Vishvarupa said, "If some form of fear arrives, one should first wash his hands and legs clean and then perform ashman by chanting this mantra. Om apavitra pavitro vas salvastham gato apiva. Yas mare kundari kaksham sa bhaya yantara suchi. Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. Then one should touch kusha grass and sit gravely and silently facing north. When completely purified, one should touch the mantra composed of 8 syllables to the 8 parts of his body and touch the mantra composed of 12 syllables to his hands. Thus, in the following manner, he should bind himself in the Narayana coat of armor. First, while chanting the mantra composed of 8 syllables, Om Namo Narayana, beginning with the pranava, the syllable Om, one should touch his hands to 8 parts of his body, starting with the 2 feet and progressing systematically to the knees, thighs, abdomen, heart, chest, mouth and head. Then one should chant the mantra in reverse, beginning with the last syllable, Ya, while touching the parts of his body in the reverse order. These 2 processes are known as Upatti Nyasa and Samhara Nyasa respectively.
Karanyasam Taha Kuryat Dvadasarakshara Vidyaya Pranavadi Yakanantam Anguli Angusta Parvasu. Valu, nice loud voice.
Then one should chant the mantra composed by 12 syllables,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the sitting each syllable by the Omkara. One should place the syllable of mantra on the tip of the tip of his fingers, beginning with the index finger of the right hand and concluding with the index finger of the left. The four remaining syllables should be placed on the joint of the thumbs.
Yase Vidya Omkaram Vikaram Anumodani Sakaram Tubhruvo Majye Nakaram Sikaya Nyase Vikaram Netrayo Yunjan Nakaram Sarva Sandishu Makaram Astram Udishya Mantramoti Bhavet Buddha Savisagam Pat Antam Tat Savadikshu Vinirudishet Om Vishnave Namah Iti. Nice and loud, yeah.
Yeah. One must then chant the mantra of six syllables, Om Vishnave Namah. One should place the syllable Om on his heart, the syllable V on the top of his head, the syllable Sh between his eyebrows, the syllable Na on his tuft of hair, Shikha, and the syllable V between his eyes. The chanter of the mantra should then place the syllable Na on all the joints of his body and meditate on the syllable Ma as being a weapon. He should thus become a perfect personification of the mantra. Thereafter, adding Visarga to the final syllable Ma, he should chant the mantra Ma Astraya Phat in all directions, beginning from the east. In this way, all directions will be bound by the protective armor of the mantra.
So you see the similarity with, you know, like that. So, and, you know, some slight differences, you know, whether you do the nyasas for the fingers first and then the bodily parts, or here with the bodily parts and the fingers. So, and of course, you know, they are using the mantras, you know, as it says here in the first part, you've got, the eight syllable, there's an eight syllable mantra and a 12 syllable mantra. The eight syllable mantra is Om Namo Narayanaya, and the 12 syllable mantra is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, in our, and this is in the Narayana Kavacha, and specifically in our line where Krishna is our primary deity, then we use, you know, Klim Krishna, Govinda, Govardhana, Bhagavata, Swaha, and we use not necessarily each syllable of the mantra, but each word of the mantra. So we're using, you know, Klim Krishna, Govinda. So we're using each word of the mantra, here they're using each syllable. So there's some similarities and some differences, but according to our specific Vaishnava line, it keeps our particular mood, and according to those in this mood of Narayan worship, then it keeps their, you know, particular mood like that. But otherwise, it's very similar. And then, as it says, you know, chanting the Ma Astraya Pat, protecting all the directions. So we also did that one. This way, yep. So we'll read the next one, number 11. Atmanam paramam jayet jayam sat shakti biyutam vijya tejas tapo bhaktim imam mantra mudarayet.
After finishing this chanting, one should think himself qualitatively one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full in six opulences and is worthy to be meditated upon. Then one should chant the following protective prayer to Lord Narayana, the Narayana Kavacha.
Yes, so now we're sort of up to the Narayana Kavacha. So there is purification of the body, the Buddha Suttis, spiritualization of the body through the nyasas, and that spiritualization of the body allows us to feel, you know, one in quality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, text number 12. Om Hari Vidyan Mama Savaraksham Yastangri Padma Padagindra Prise Tarari Chamasi Girishu Chapap Asandarano Stagno Stabahu. The Supreme Lord who sits on the back of the bird Garuda, touching him with his lotus feet, holds eight weapons: the conch shell, disc, shield, sword, club, arrows, bow, and ropes. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead protect me at all times with his eight arms. He is all-powerful because he fully possesses the eight mystic powers, anima, leghima, etc. Now, let me just mention, as we are chanting this Narayana Kavacha, we should understand that this mantra is not different from the Lord. So by chanting it, we're worshipping the Lord. This is the deity. It's like we have the deities in the temple. So one must purify and spiritualize oneself to worship the deity of the mantra. Is not different from the mantra by chanting and hearing it. So we're worshipping. And therefore, we're all also should be picturing ourselves seated at the lotus feet of our spiritual masters, beautifully dressed in saris, because that's for the women, and the men and the dhotis, all cleansed, tilak, like that. So we're picturing ourselves like that at the feet of the spiritual master as we're chanting this Narayana Kavacha, which is worshipping the Lord.
Just a question.
Yeah.
What are the eight weapons?
What's
the Lord is holding eight weapons?
Yeah.
Finally, it says ropes. Does it mean the three modes of
Gajini
nature? It says ropes.
I think he's got some actual ropes. Tie, you got?
It's not in the form of three modes.
Ropes are usually, you know, twined, intertwined. Several twines tied together, but it doesn't specifically say that, but you know, that is one of the examples used as a rope, that they're made stronger because of the, you know, three modes. But
just one.
But they are actual ropes. But you can imagine how tightly bound those ropes are. There is, they'll bind you as tightly as the three modes of material nature will bind you.
So just for the mystery
of the ropes. Yeah. You know, it's demoralizing. You know, it's very demoralizing. Or, you know, if someone is really proud and you tie them up and bind them, it's very demoralizing. Imagine if, you know, someone came in and said, "Oh, you asked too many questions in class. Tie them up, gag them, and put them in the corner over there." It's very demoralizing. So, you know, there are different forms of punishment. Each one has an effect on you. Yeah. You bind someone means that, you know, you've left them alive. You know, sometimes they, you know, especially for some, they'd rather you just kill them outright than to bind them. It's like with Rukmi. It was worse than death to be bound and humiliated. For a proud Kshatriya, worse than death to be bound like that. And then they snipped at his moustache and his hair. Alright, text number 13. Jala Shumam Rakshatu Matsha Mutir Yadogunebhyo Varunasya Pashat Staleshu Mayavatu Vamano Vyat Chivikamma Kevatu Vishwarupa. We'll go in a circle. Ready?
May the Lord, who assumes the body of a great fish, protect me in the water from the fierce animals that are associates of the demigod Varuna. By expending his illusory energy, the Lord assumed the form of the dwarf Vamana. May Vamana protect me on that land. Since the gigantic form of the Lord, Vishwarupa, conquers the three worlds, may he protect me in the sky.
Dageshvatvapji Mukadishu Prabhu Paihan Rishimha Sura Yutapari Trimunchato Yasha Mahata Hasam Disho Vinidu Yapatam Chagabaha.
May Lord Narsingadev, who appeared as the enemy of Hiranyakashipu, protect me in all directions. His loud laughing vibrated in all directions and caused the pregnant wives of the Asuras to have miscarriages. May that Lord be kind enough to protect me in difficult places like the forest and the battlefield.
Rakshat Rasa Advani Yagya Kabaha Svadam Strayanita Dharovaraha Ramoji Kuteshvata Vipraveshe Salakshmano Vyad Bharata Krajasma.
The Supreme Indestructible Lord is ascertained through the performance of ritualistic sacrifices and is therefore known as Yagneshwara. In his incarnation as Lord Bor, he raised the planet Earth from the water at the bottom of the universe and kept it on his pointed tusk. May that Lord protect me from rogues on the street. May Parshuram protect me on the tops of mountains. And may the elder brother of Bharata, Lord Ramachandra, along with his brother Lakshmana, protect me in foreign countries.
Mam Ugra Dhamat Akilat Pramadhan Narayana Patu Narascha Hasat Dattas Cha Yoga Datta Yoga Nattaha Haihat Guneshaha Kipila Karma Bandhat.
May Lord Narayana protect me from the unnecessarily following false religious system and falling from my duties due to madness. May the Lord in his appearance as Nara protect me from unnecessary pride. May Lord Dattatreya, the master of all mystic power, protect me from falling while performing bhakti yoga. And may Lord Kapila, the master of all good qualities, protect me from the material bondage of fruitive activities.
Sanat kamaro vatu kamadevhat Dayashirsha mamma pati deva gevanat Devadishi varya purusha chanantarat Kurmo hari mam nidayat asishat. May Sanat kamaro protect me from lusty desires. As I begin some auspicious activity, may Lord Hayagriva protect me from being offended by neglecting to offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord. May Devarishi Narada protect me from committing offences in worshipping the deity, and may Lord Korma, the tortoise, protect me from falling to the unlimited hellish planets. So I might just read a few here. Danvantari Bhagavan Patrya Pyad Dvandvabhayadrishabho Nirjitatma Yagyascha lokaravataj janantat baloganat krodo vasad ahindra. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Dhanvantari relieve me from undesirable eatables and protect me from physical illness. May Lord Rishabdev, who conquered his inner and outer senses, protect me from fear produced by the duality of heat and cold. May Yagya protect me from defamation and harm from the populace, and may Lord Balaram as Sesha protect me from envious serpents. So here, this is Balaram here, our Salagram, Sankirtan. He protects you from envious serpents. That's interesting, isn't it? And I've told you that story about the first day that I ever wore, and he protected me from that Greg Anderson. Attacked me on that day. Greg Anderson, the one who killed his son, killed his 11-year-old boy. You know the story? Did I tell that story? I'm going to tell you, I'm refreshing it. First day I ever got Sankirtan. So we've read here how he protects you from envious servants or envious people as well. So I went upstairs to see Indrajumna Swami, this is when he was here, and he showed me a little special cardboard box that used to have some soap in it. He'd obviously taken that, you know, new soap out and then put the Shalagram in, so it was nicely scented. And he showed me that, and I could see it was a soap box, and he said, "What's in here, Gangasara, is not soap, but it will purify you of your material body." And then he gave me the Sankirtan. And so I had a little chat with him. Then I went downstairs and I sat in the courtyard here. And while I was sitting in the courtyard, I had the Sankirtan in a little bag just around my shoulder. And in the little box. And while I was sitting there on the opposite side of the courtyard, then a devotee's wife was sitting on the opposite side of the courtyard, and she was attending to a little baby. And she was sort of feeding the baby. The baby was, I think between about nearly 2 years old or something. So, but the baby, had a habit of causing the mother trouble. And the mother used to lose her temper with the baby and sometimes give it a little smack. Anyway, that's what actually happened. And then this person who was in the courtyard, Greg Anderson, he's about 6'2" or 6'3", a very big fella. He used to come here all the time. He used to have a pair of shorts, a little bit balding on the head, quite tall, very solid build. Anyway, when he saw her give a baby a little smack. So this person, he had a very violent history. Some of the people here knew that violent history, but it wasn't made, that information was not made too much known to the community. But what happened was he immediately just lost his, become violent, and he raced over, pulled out his fist and threatened that he would absolutely beat the, started swearing and, went red in the face. I mean, he was, fuming with anger, and he was going to bash that lady up if she touched her baby again. So it was a real overreaction. The baby screamed its head off seeing this guy, yelling, screaming at its mother. The mother was terrified and started crying, her eyes out. And so, I jumped up and I ran over to him and said, stop, you can't do that to anyone, let alone this lady feeding a baby. And he started yelling out, she's smacked her baby, I'm going to smash her. And I said, you touch anyone and I'll have you thrown out of the temple within 2 seconds. And then he got human angry, and he sort of, he got really angry at me because, for one, taking him on, and two, he was already angry. So he went storming towards the fountain, and I sort of walked over to the tree in the centre of the courtyard, and I stood there because I knew he was going to come back. Because, sometimes people, when they get angry, they storm off and they come back and attack you, They storm off and and then they just come back and they charge you. So that's what he did. He sort of got to about the fountain, he turned around, and he just started coming at me like that. And I was standing there with Sankirtan, and I was thinking, oh my God, you know, I've had Sankirtan for about 5 minutes, and now I'm going to be getting rolled all over the courtyard with a shalagram, and how am I going to explain that to my spiritual master? He's given me a shalagram seal to look after, and then he's gonna look out the window upstairs and see me rolling around the courtyard having a fight, and I'm thinking, how am I going to explain, you know, I'm not sort of, you know, my spiritual master will be thinking, I don't know why I gave you that shalagram, look at you. So that was what's going through my head. Anyway, in the meantime, while I'm sort of in this daze about, you know, what my spiritual master is going to be saying when he hears about this thing, he's sort of, you know, still charging at me, and he gets to about, like, literally just, within punching distance, and I'm just sort of standing there, and for some reason, he just stopped dead in his tracks. And he sort of looked at me as if to say, you know, he had this, sort of, it was like, he didn't know what to do anymore. And then he just turned around and walked off. So I didn't do anything. But, you know, I know the Sankirtan, just because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that the super soul of the demons is Sankirtan. And within his heart, he just stopped and did his tracks. He turned off. A few months later, this guy, just to give you an idea of how uncontrolled his violence was, actually, a week or two after that, he attacked a man next door who was about 80 years old. He walked past, put a prasadam plate, empty plate in his bin. The man came out and said, "Oh, you Hare Krishnas, don't put your plate in." He pushed him to the ground and then kicked him while he was on the ground. And a few months after that, he attacked his own son and stabbed him to death. So he was a very violent person. You know, he's not the sort of person that just makes idle threats. He was, you know, and he had a whole history. What we didn't know is actually he was living in his car around the area. And the police were after him. They had a warrant, but they couldn't find him. And he did stay at a devotee's house somewhere close, but that devotee also didn't know, how dangerous this person was. But that was the first 5 minutes I had Sankirtan on me. I'd only just got him. And, you know, I'd never forget that, you know, he was saying that, you know, that he wouldn't, pretend. And that's Balaram. Or Sesha or Sankirtan protect you from envious servants. Here he is, present, right here. And you know, it's interesting because, I mean, I have read this chapter many times as it in my devotional life. You know, each time I go through the, and always you chant it. And we're describing here different things where the Lord will protect you, you know, from this, from that. So, of course, the Lord knows the particular dangers we may face individually. Some of us face envious people, some of us face, you know, accidents, some of us face this. He knows. But the Lord will appear somehow or another, you know, in that, through one of these different forms for the particular devotee, for the particular obstacle, the danger, you know, that devotee goes through. You know. So the obstacles, you know, we all face certain obstacles, certain dangers. So according to the obstacles which are holding back our progress as devotees, the Lord, you know, will manifest himself, protect the devotee from those particular circumstances. And if a devotee is subject to all the problems, then he'll manifest himself, you know, as that's probably why I've got 39 shalagrams. So many different types of problems to be protected from. So, let's read on. Dvaipiyano Bhagavan aprabodhat buddhastu pasandhagana pramadat Kalki kale kala mala prapattu dhamma vanna yoru kita vattaraha May the personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Vyasadeva protect me from all kinds of ignorance resulting from the absence of Vedic knowledge. And that's how we all ended up in the Bhakti Vaibhava class. May Lord Buddhadev protect me from the activities opposed to Vedic principles and from laziness that causes one to madly forget the Vedic principles of knowledge and ritualistic action. May Kalkidev, the Supreme Person of Godhead, who appeared as an incarnation to protect religious principles, protect me from the dirt of the age of Kali. Who doesn't need that one? Mam Keshava Gadiya Patada Vihad Gavindara Sangavada Tavanu Narayanaya Pandavutata Shakti Madhyandine Vishnurinda Pani. My Lord Keshava protect me with his club in the first portion of the day. May Govinda, who is always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day. May Lord Narayan, who is equipped with all potencies, protect me in the third part of the day. My Lord Vishnu, who carries a dish to kill his enemies, protect me in the fourth part of the day. Chakram Yugantan Nala Digmanimi Brahmahat Samantad Bhagavat Prayuktam Dandag. Did I skip one?
Yeah.
Too much garden.
21.
More thumbs. 21. Devo paranha madhu hogradanva sayam chi devavantu madavomam doshehi shikesha utada latre nisita eko vatu padmanabha. My Lord Madhusudan, who carries a bow, very fearful of the demons, protect me during the fifth part of the day. In the evening, my Lord Madhava, appearing as Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, protect me. And in the beginning of night, my Lord Hrishikesh protect me. At the dead of night, in the second and third parts of night, my Lord Padmanabha alone protect me. So it's interesting. Padmanabha, of course, is Gavadaksha Vishnu. He appeared as Gavadaksha Vishnu. But that's another name for Gavadaksha Vishnu. So he appeared within the dark universe. So it's very appropriate, you know, that he protects one in the darkness of night. Shivatsadamaparalatralisa pratyusho isho sidalo janadanam damodaravyat anusanjam pravite Vishveshwaro Bhagavan Kalamoti. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who bears the Shivatsa on his chest, protect me after midnight until the sky becomes pinkish. My Lord Janardhan, who carries a sword on his hand, protect me at the end of night during the last four Gatikas of night. My Lord Damodar, protect me in the early morning, and my Lord Vishveshwara, protect me during the junctions of day and night. All of these, of course, when you become familiar with the deities, you know, you can see there, you know, why that particular deity protects. Just like the Lord, he wears the Shrivats. You know, I mean, the Shrivats, not wears, but bears the Shrivats. The Shrivats is like a, you know, golden or sometimes silver curl of a hair chest of the Lord, but you know, it's effulgent and therefore protects one in the night. Chakram Yugantanala Dignanami Brahmat Samantad Bhagavat Prayuktam Dandakti Dandakti Asanyamashu Kaksham Yata Vatasako Hutasa. Set into motion by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and wandering in all the four directions, the disc of the Supreme Lord has sharp edges as destructive as the fire of devastation at the end of the millennium. As a blazing fire burns dry grass to ashes with the assistance of the breeze, may that Sudarshan Chakra burn our enemies to ashes. Nishpashana Vishpulinghe Nishpindhi Nishpindyujita Priyasi Kushmanda Vanyakka Yaksha Lakshu Uttagraham Chumayachunayarun. O club in the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you produce sparks of fire as powerful as thunderbolts, and you are extremely dear to the Lord. I am also his servant. Therefore, kindly help me pound to pieces the evil living beings known as Kushmandas, Vanyakas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Bhutas, and Grahas. Please pulverize them. Tram Yutudana Pramata Patamacha Isacha Vipragraha Goradrishin Tarendha Vidra Vaya Krishna Pudito Bhima Shanore Hidyan Hi Kampayan. O best of conch shells, O Panchajanya, in the hands of the Lord, you are always filled with the breath of Lord Krishna. Therefore, you create a fearful sound vibration that causes trembling in the hearts of enemies like the Rakshasas, Ramatha Ghosts, Pretas, Matas, Pisachas, and Brahmana Ghosts with fearful eyes. Tvam Dimadarasi Varari Sanyam Isha Paryakto Mama Chindhi Chindhi Chokshum Shi Chaman Chita Chandra Chaddaya Divishan Nagonan Hara Papa Chakshusham. O King of sharp-edged swords, you are engaged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please cut the soldiers of my enemies to pieces. Please cut them to pieces. O shield marked with 100 brilliant moon-like circles, please cover the eyes of the sinful enemies. Pluck out their sinful eyes. Yando bayam grihebhyo bhut ketubhyo nirubhya evacha Siri sripebhyo damstribhyo bhutebhyo mya evacha Savanitani Bhagavan Nama Rupanu Kirtanat Priyantu Sankshayam Sajyo Yenasaya Pratipakkaha. May the glorification of the transcendental name, form, qualities and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead protect us from the influence of bad planets, meteors, envious human beings, serpents, scorpions, and animals like tigers and wolves. May it protect us from ghosts and the material elements like earth, water, fire, and air. And may it also protect us from lightning and our past sins. We are always afraid of these hindrances to our auspicious life. Therefore, may they all be completely destroyed by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that's an interesting one there.
From sinful activities.
Within our astrological chart, birth chart, you know, when there are planets that will dish out some obstacles and suffering, it is the result of our sinful activities in previous lifetimes. And these are destroyed very powerfully by the Lord in his various features, and by the glorification of the name, form, qualities and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know that, as Prabhupada puts it very clearly here, you know, destroyed by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because that is the principal name of the Personality of God, and there's a principal mantra consisting of his names like that. So, although it's not necessarily there in the Sanskrit, we understand that that's exactly what it's referring to. Garudo Bhagavan Stotra Stovyas Chando Maya Prabhu Rakshatra Shesha Kritrebhyo Vishrakshina Svanamabhi. Lord Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, is the most worshipful Lord, for he is as powerful as the Supreme Lord himself.
He is the personified Vedas and is worshipped by selected verses. May he protect us from all dangerous conditions, and may Lord Vishvakshana, the personality of Godhead, also protect us from all dangers by his holy name. Sava Padja Hare Namarupa Yanayudanina Budhindriya Manahapranam Pantupa Sada Bhushanaha. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead's holy names, his transcendental forms, his carriers, and all the weapons decorating him as personal associates protect our intelligence, senses, mind, and life here from all dangers. Itahi Bhagavan Iva Vasutta Sada Satchayat Satyena Ninda Nasave Yantu Nasam Upadravaha. The subtle and gross cosmic manifestation is material, but nevertheless it is not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is ultimately the cause of all causes. Cause and effect are factually one, because the cause is present in the effect. Therefore, the absolute truth and Supreme Personality of Godhead can destroy all our dangers by any of his potent parts. Now that's interesting. He can protect us by his potent parts. That means through, you know, the material energy. I've just been reading one of the diaries of, you know, Shailendra Dhyamaswami, where, you know, in the early days, preaching in France, and you know, there was some incident where they were attacked by some bikies, and then they sort of gradually, the bikies wanted to kill them, and or, you know, beat them almost to that point. Anyway, they got away from them. They hid in some shops. The bikies went door to door looking for the devotees. Some of the people got beaten up because that's, you know, there was one butcher. They were hiding in the shop next door, but they could hear when the bikers went into the butcher's, "Where's Hare Krishna's?" And they said, "I don't know, leave him alone anyway. They're nice people. They give people a shadow." So they beat him up, the butcher. But the butcher was defending the Hare Krishna. Anyway, so then they ended up camping by a river, and when they were camping by a river, one of the young devotees got allured by one of the young gypsy girls who were, you know, the gypsies were camping a little further up. And, you know, so when the gypsies found out that one of the Hare Krishnas was with, you know, the girl, they were going to kill him. And basically, you know, there was a lot of yelling and stuff like that. And Maharaj, you know, understood there was some problem. He went into the camp to save him. And he was at the point where they would ask him how he wanted to die. Did you want to be stabbed to death, you know, strangled or shot or something? And you know, Maharaj managed to talk him out of, killing him. And, you know, by saying, "Look, we're brothers," you know. And he goes, "What do you mean?" "Oh, you know, the gypsies are from ancient India. We're also Indian." He says, "You're not Indian." He says, "No, but I've been adopted by the Indians." and gradually that, you know, "You like to sing and dance, we like to sing and dance. You like to camp out, we like to camp out," like this. Anyway, the head of the gypsies decided they'll let the guy go, and that he wanted to make Maharaj a blood brother. He said, "All right." So, of course, this is the only way they can get out of it. So they do this thing where he pulls out a knife and lifts up his shirt, and you've got to cut his chest like that with all the blood, and then they put blood to blood like that. And then, you know, so then they were blood brothers, and it's like a traditional gypsy thing. And they also had to accept a present, which was a sheep, which they accepted the sheep and they put it in the sankirtan down. You know, they travelled with that sheep. They were going to think that they might make a woolen jumper out, but I think they eventually let it go. But anyway, One, this is in France. Another time, he ended up in Russia. And what happened was, there was another problem with gypsies. And I don't know if I'm getting all the details right, but what happened was, again, these gypsies, were going to, bash the devotees up. I mean, they had knives and, also they weren't, they were really going to get stuck into them. And Maharaj said, no, I'm a gypsy too, I'm a blood brother. Oh yeah, prove it. Lifted up his shirt, there's a scar. Oh, you are. And then they gave him another sheet. Anyway, there was another incident, and what happened was, so these incidents have sort of led one after over about some years. Someone else was attacking them, and Maharaj and the devotees broke into the Nrisimha priest. And they were singing as loud as they could, because these guys were coming at them with all sorts of weapons. And then these guys just stopped in their tracks. And they basically took off. And Maharaj is saying, just see the potency of Lord Nrisimhadev. And one of the devotees saying, Maharaj, look behind you. And all the gypsies had come out. And there's just a whole, all the gypsies were there. And it was when the other people saw the gypsies, they took off. But you see what I'm saying? Is that when it says here that the Lord is non-different from the cosmic manifestation, when he appears, he can work through any parts and parcels of his cosmic manifestation. He can work through any of the material elements, he can work through any person. So in that sense, though chanting the Nrisimha mantra, and Lord Nrisimhadev appeared to protect them through the gypsy. And they don't even follow any, they don't follow any offences we follow like that. So that's just trying to give that example how the Lord, what this verse means. Right. So we'll read on.
Yatai kat yanu bhavanam vikalpa rihitam svayam bhushana yuda lingakya tate shakti shamayaya tenaiva sacha manina sarvayo bhagavan hari patu sarvasvarupalna sada sarvacha sarvaya.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entities, the material energy, the spiritual energy, and the entire creation are all individual substances. In the ultimate analysis, however, together they constitute the Supreme One, the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, those who advance in spiritual knowledge see unity and diversity. For such advanced persons, the Lord's bodily decorations, his name, his fame, his attributes and forms, and the weapons in his hands are manifestations of the strength of his potency. According to their elevated spiritual understanding, the omniscient Lord, who manifests various forms, is present everywhere. May he always protect us from all calamities.
Vidikshu ikshu dham adaha samantat antabahi bhagavan narasimha prahapaya lokabayam shanina satejasa grastasamastateja.
Pralad Maharaj loudly chanted the holy name of Lord Nrisimhadev. May Lord Nrisimhadev, roaring for his devotee Pralad Maharaj, protect us from all fear and dangers created by stalwart leaders in all directions, through poison, weapons, water, fire, air, and so on. May the Lord cover their influence by his own transcendental influence. May Lord Nrisimhadev protect us in all directions and in all corners, above, below, within, and without.
Bhagavan nidanakyattam bhava vinayanatmakam vijyasyasenjasanyana damsito sadayutapam.
Vishwarupa continued, O Indra, this mystic armor related to Lord Narayan has been described by me to you. By putting on this protective covering, you will certainly be able to conquer the leaders of the demons. Etadariyam manastu yam yam pashiti chakshusha padava samsprishet sadya sadvasat savimuchate. If one employs this armor, whomever he sees with his eyes or touches with his feet, is immediately freed from all the above mentioned dangers. That's it. Everyone look at each other. Everyone look at each other. And everyone offer their blessings to each other. Yes. Yes, look at us, Vasudeva. You've been hearing. So you, even if
you've got a special benefit.
Take your earplugs. I'm sure some of the sound vibration got through. Anyway, you looked at us. Now you're protected. Okay. Maybe we should all go touch his feet. Let's make sure. Nukutas chidbayam tasha vijam dariyato bhavet raja dasyugrahadibhyop yadhibhyascha karhichit. This prayer, Nrisimha Kavacha, constitutes subtle knowledge transcendentally connected with Narayan. One who employs this prayer is never disturbed or put in danger by the government, by plunderers, by evil demons, or by any type of disease. Imam bijan pada kaschit koshiko dariyam bija yoga daranaya sangan jahosamaru dhanvani. O King of Heaven, a Brahmana named Kaushika formerly used this armor when he purposely gave up his body in the desert by mystic power. Tashopadi vimanina kandava patirikada ayo chitrata shibi vito yachadvijakshaya. Surrounded by many beautiful women, Chitrata, the king of Gandhava Loka, was once passing in his airplane over the Brahmana's body at the spot where the Brahmana had died. Gaganam yapatat sadhya savimano yavakshira savalikiliya vachanat astin yadaya vishvita prasya prachi sarasvacham radamasram anpagat. Suddenly, Chitrarath was forced to fall from the sky head first with his airplane. Struck with wonder, he was ordered by the great sage named the Valikilyas to throw the Brahmana's bones in the river nearby, River Sarasvati. He had to do this and bathe in the river before returning to his own abode. Sri Sukravacha Yadidam Shinu Yatkale Yodariyati Chadrataha Tam Namashanti Bhutani Bhutate Sabatovaya. Sri Sukadeva goes from, he said, My dear Maharaj Prigat, one who employs this armor or hears about it with faith and veneration, when afraid because of any conditions in the material world, is immediately freed from all dangers and is worshipped by all living entities. Etam vijanadi gato vijvarupach chitakatu trailokya lakshmin bhuche minirjicha modhe saran. King Indra, who performed 100 sacrifices, received this prayer of protection from Vishwarupa. After conquering the demons, he enjoyed all the opulences of the three worlds. That's in the Bhaktivedanta, the third portion of the 6th canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled the Narayana Kavacha Shield. So that's interesting, that one becomes freed from all material conditions and dangers, and one is worshipped by all living entities.
Well, what exactly does this mean, worship by all living entities?
It means that, your family life becomes peaceful. and people in society generally will treat you better. And you know, even vicious animals will not attack you. Yeah? And the various, even the demigods that who may have been previously assigned to give you bad troubles, they will also not give you trouble.
Prabhu, it's interesting that whoever one who gives all these mantras, he himself is killed by Indra. So he could not protect himself.
Who was?
Vishwarupa. Vishwarupa was killed by Indra. Later on in this,
there. Yeah.
Because he himself could not be
protected
because he's doing all this.
Yes, that's actually that is interesting, isn't it? That he gave that mantra to Indra. So, of course, Indra's purpose was that he would be able to conquer the demons and not allow them to gain any sort of strength that may impede his position or the his service along with other demigods in worshipping the Supreme Lord. So therefore Vishwarupa, who, as we'll hear in the next chapters, was performing the various ceremonies and rituals and yajnas for the demigods, but offering them the benefits also secretly, so that they would actually counteract the mantra. So so he's offered them a mantra that no one in the universe could help Indra's enemies to again gain power, and yet he attempted to do that himself. So, to offer the demigods the facility of the yajnas by which they would again become powerful.
No, but he was offering to both. He was doing it to the demigods and the demons. So you would say that they would be equal,
that
each one would be
equal. Indra didn't want equal. He wanted, you read
no,
some of those.
The point is, he could not save himself from Indra. So the reason is known.
Yeah.
But he himself is giving that mantra.
Yeah.
But he could not protect himself.
Yeah. So he has given a mantra that no one can overcome, and then he's tried to go against the purpose of the mantra himself. It's like in ISKCON, if a spiritual master gives someone the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, by which that person would always be situated on the spiritual platform, and that spiritual master falls down. It's a similar thing, isn't it?
Did he do anything wrong, though?
Yes. Yeah. Well, he was secretly, strengthening the position of the demigod, the demons.
But he was doing it for the. My point is, he's doing it for the demigods too.
Yeah.
He's doing it for both. So he was neutral.
But he was a priest for the demigods. That's not that condition of Indra accepted him.
No, he's not interested.
He's doing a favor to demigods.
Yeah, he's doing them a favor, but it wasn't doing Indra a favor. Indra was quite appalled by it. He was, you know.
Oh, but because of without that, Indra couldn't have won the fight.
Wasn't he doing anything? He did Indra a favor, but then he almost undermined that favor again. So he made Indra again totally powerful over the demons, so they could live completely peacefully. And then the demons, you know, would begin to get, you know, strength and opulence and, you know, influence through the benefit that he was giving them. So that would again put fear and anxiety into the hearts of the demigods. So it would undermine everything that had been done.
But that was, I understand what you're saying,
yeah.
But my only point is when you're doing it to both,
yeah.
Then both should be so powerful that one cannot overtake the other. So according to God, they should be protected. So neither the demons can take over the demigods, nor the demigods should be able to attack it. That's a perfect situation.
Well, no, it's like a hung parliament, you know, where, you know, like now we're having elections. So if they don't get enough of you know, votes, every time they try to vote something into the, you know, to put something into place, they only have just enough power to be in government, but not enough power to get anything done, because the other one has just enough power to veto it. So you don't want to hung parliament between the demigods and the demons, and that's similar, you know.
So
but let's hope we don't have a hung parliament between Turnbull and.
So what
is it Turnbull or Turncoat?
Well,
Turnbull, yeah.
So what
Indra
did, was it correct?
What's that?
What Indra did, was it correct?
Was it correct what
killing him.
Yeah,
dogs were in
labor. Yeah.
Yes,
well, you know, in effect, he's just given Indra this mantra that anyone tries to usurp your power will be destroyed by this mantra. And then he, you know, due to his attachment to the demons, Indra took it that that's usurping my power. I want more power than you giving them equal footing. I don't want that. They can be completely subdued, and that's the only position he'll accept. So therefore he became literally, in one sense, just Indra had, you know, the potency to destroy the demons and the spiritual master.
Was that the only thing Indra could have done? No, let's say that it wasn't that what he did, was it correct?
Well, what's incorrect, of course, is that you know,
he could have gone to Lord Brahma and said what to do in this situation instead of just taking things in his hand.
Even
the demons are attacking him, he, that time he's scared, he goes to Brahma. But now, he doesn't try to take Brahma's help.
He went to Brahma when he couldn't do anything, where he couldn't execute his normal duties because he had lost his strength. Now he had his strength back and he was even more invincible than he was before. So now he didn't have to go to Brahma, he could just do what he usually does and rule, you know, as a very mighty king of heaven.
Then if he's doing his right duty, why
yeah.
is he punishable? Then if he's doing his correct duty,
yeah.
then he should not be punishable, but actually he has so much of sin.
Well, if someone, yeah, if someone helps your enemies, that's treason. That's punishable by death.
Okay.
But in this case, but if that person that was doing that was a priest, or you know, a brahmana, then there may be, you know, that person who is punishable by death is a priest. Are you allowed to put a priest who represents, you know, the Supreme Lord to death? So you, in that case, you know, and if one does, one may have should have put something else into place for that in that regard, and therefore that's what we'll see what happens to Indra in that regard. So for the crime of treason, death is suitable. So that was there. But the person committing treason, if they happen to be a priest or your father or your mother, and you just put them to death, then there's something, you know, incorrect about that. And for that, there has to be some correction. But because he's the king, you can't put the king to death. So you can't just kill Indra. So
again, that's true. But again, Indra is quite cheeky. Again, he transferred the karma for all the trees and, land and water and women.
Yeah.
He's very...
yeah.
He's a very special person.
Yeah.
Another injustice.
You know what I mean? He suffered for a year and then he transferred the karma to...
Yeah, he took some stuff.
He's a very tricky person too.
And of course, as we see, from what I understand, this is taking place in Satyayuga. And then the battle between Indra and the demon, what's his name?
Vritrasura
takes place. At the beginning of the Treta Yuga. Yeah. So, and in that way, what you see is that there is almost a providential arrangement there, because some of the sinful reactions, which may not have been in there in Satya Yuga, may then just begin to appear at the end of Satya Yuga for the beginning of Treta Yuga. So, you know, the sinful reactions such as the deserts, which may not have been there in Satya Yuga, then may start to increase in the Treta Yuga when that battle started. So, you know, this appears to be taking place somewhere at the end of the Satya Yuga, because at the beginning of the Treta Yuga. So therefore the sinful reactions not there in Satya Yuga begin to kick in for Treta Yuga, and of course in each yuga these sinful reactions, the same sinful reactions, just become more intense. So we have more deserts. Deserts in Treta Yuga, more deserts in Dwapara Yuga, and there's more deserts in Kali Yuga, where we know in Kali Yuga it gets to the point there's no milk, there's no sugar, there's no water, you know, like that. So that's a lot of desert. That sounds like a lot of desert to me. So these sinful reactions seem to have been introduced then. So there's something providential about Indra's accepting, this pastime where he does something a little out of the ordinary. But it does allow him, as the King of Heaven, to inaugurate a different atmosphere in the next yuga.
Later, did Brihaspati, did he come back?
What's that?
Brihaspati, did he come back?
Oh, yeah, I think he
disappeared for some time.
Yeah, he was just hiding around the bush. Just hold on, hold for a second. You can probably turn that off now, thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes, can I call you back in 5 minutes?